So what does wellness mean to you? Welcome to another episode of Wellness Wednesdays. I am your host, Eric Collard. This week, another special guest, recording live from downtown-ish Ottawa. We got Dave Yurchuk on the podcast this week, an adventure coach, and he'll tell you all about some great adventures he's been on and how he likes to pass on his knowledge. So welcome to the podcast.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Take us back a little bit about how did Adventure Coach come about?
Well, for me, I wanted to come in the coaching world and do something a little bit different and offer something different, right? Because you can never really reinvent the wheel this day and age, but it's always having your own personal touch and spin. So besides, being a coach, doing the training for the coach, and my passion of helping other people was really the other passion as well, and seeing how I could tie that in of being adventurous outdoors. I love being out in Mother Nature, how it recharged me, how it fueled me, how it gave me clarity. I just wanted to bring that into the coaching realm and came up with the Adventure Coach and now help people, personal development, career coaching, business coaching, and always include an outdoor element, for example, just going hiking and having our conversations as we would between four walls. So it's getting people out of their everyday norm and giving them a new experience and a deeper experience from centered coaching.
So how would the conversation change from being in a coffee shop or being in an office to hiking Gatineau Park?
Well, I do both for sure. It's the matter of pulling nature into the conversation and having parallels, having people explore their lives. And I look at when I first came up with this, when my coach that helped me discover this was using a variety of words in the funnel system to come up with, okay, what are the things that I love doing? How can I funnel that down to one word? I came up with survival. Originally, the way I wrote survival down was the outdoor element. I love wilderness survival.
And you're a big fan of Survivor?
Exactly. Oh, huge. Les Stroud is definitely one of my heroes for sure. And survival was the outdoor element for me, but then I looked at it and really chewed it apart, and I realized, like, every day of our lives, we are surviving in our day-to-day. It's with our relationships, with those that are close to us, the friends and family. It's the workplace. It's keeping up. I have a lot of friends that put in extra time and extra efforts in their job because if they don't, they will be replaced. So they're always trying to survive in their position. So pulling that survival aspect to everyday life and then incorporating Mother Nature and the systems, the environments, how the trees grow roots and how we need to grow roots as individuals to have that solid foundation to leverage any business offering, any personal growth off as well, I find is hugely important. So it's if we can't get them out into Mother Nature, it's metaphorically speaking, through conversation, just doing a parallel on how all of our ancestors came off the land. And here we are kind of forgetting about the land and the energy and the forest and the foods that we eat, you know, tying in with some nutrition. It's just that if we look back in history, what they did, why did we divert so far away from it? So it's pulling people back to sometimes the simple values in life and refresh their minds of the natural beauties that are out there and being more aware and being more grateful for everything that we have in our lives.
So actually, I'll also put you a little bit on the spot. So you talked about straying away from kind of Mother Nature and all that stuff. Why do you think that is? Why did we stray away so far?
I think the accessibility of things these days and technology has occupied us. I know, like, even high school for me, I grew up in the country, so it's very much part of me being in Mother Nature, where a lot of my friends that live closer or in bigger cities would often spend their weekends in the basement playing video games. Not saying anything's wrong with that. It's teach their own, but I feel that if we have accessibility of Netflix now, we could watch anything we want at any time we want, and that's still a form of recharging, you know, eliminating some stress that maybe it's becoming too accessible versus gearing up with the appropriate clothing, accessories, driving, let's say, to the Gatineau Park, planning a hike, executing a hike, packing snacks. Maybe it's a little more effort that people don't have the time for as much anymore.
And what kind of work do you do with your clients to make that more accessible, to make the Gatineau Park hike or whatever?
Some clients we plan it. Some clients I literally don't plan anything, and I just pick them up and we go up. We go even if it's close, depending on, of course, who the client is. Yeah. Take them down to the experimental farm, take them down to Dow's Lake or the Rideau River. Just hang out in a beautiful setting that allows us to gain more clarity in our soul, in our spirits, in our mind, that we could for a duration of time, whether it be 5 minutes or an hour, just eliminate all the stress, eliminate all that hustle bustle of North American society, and just have peace and quiet, and listen to the birds, listen to the wind passing in the trees.
So what do you think it is about greenery or trees that really make you feel calm?
I think it's that natural peace. It's something that, again, going back in history, has always been something that... it's such a spiritual place, right? Like for us in Canada, the Native Americans, it's just like everything that they've done was wrapped around the spirit of the wild animals, the trees, the energies that are there. And I find that Mother Nature has that energy from its simplicity and its beauty and its strengths in the size of the trees, from all the birds, from all the animals, the species that are out there. I find that, I guess, a way more so that people are straying away from Mother Nature and its aspects and more into urban settings and hustle bustle and technology, that I think the value of Mother Nature and the peace of Mother Nature, for me anyways, has more value today more than ever.
So how do you recharge on weeknights or weekends?
From as simple as going out for a good run or walk with my dog every day, to kayaking, to the winter. We're approaching winter now, so cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, downhill skiing and snowboarding, like anything to me. I find just breathing cold air in the winter time, that crispness of that, just allows us to again, focus on the simple thing of a breath. And then at the same time, breathing that fresh air versus more of a city, urban experience where, you know, pollutants, more noise, and more things to distract us.
Yeah, I mean, and a cold breath really, really wakes you up. I mean, it's
totally does.
It's
yeah.
hard to stay awake or stay asleep if you're thrown out in nature at minus 30. So
absolutely, and yeah, for every year I go winter camping, and to me that alone, spending at least 48 hours outside, constantly breathing that cold, fresh air, it keeps me fueled for months after, even if I were to be stuck in my house.
So what do you have to say to people that they're like, you know what? No, it's winter. I hibernate. Like, is there anything? Because like, I know a lot of those folks are like, I mean, I'm with you. I'm on camp team winter. But a lot of folks are like, they're literally like bears. Like as soon as like November comes around, I mean, I do a challenge every January. We run every day outside in January, and people are like, you're crazy. It's like, well, no, actually, I want people to get outside. I love winter running, probably more so than summer running. But I know there's some people who are not into that.
For sure. I think being in Canada, there's a lot of people that aren't too keen of cold weather, the snow, whatever. But I think that, again, is a default to not taking the time to enjoy and to embrace the changes. I know for myself, I would not be able to live anywhere else in the world that doesn't have our four seasons, because to me, it's different energies, it's different activities, it's a recharge of life, right? The spring, it's the whole, everything comes to life again. So the winter, and part of what I love about the adventure coaching is that I help people by getting the appropriate gear, layers, right? So in the winter time, let's say we're going snowshoeing for an example. You could pull out your grandfather's old wood snowshoes, or you could go rent from a local sports shop some really nice, light, very grippy snowshoes. And then you start with good snow boots, right? Base layer. So, right, by having someone help guide you with the appropriate gear to keep you warm, because I think that's the default there, is that, ooh, it's cold outside, I don't want to go. But it's not cold when you're dressed properly. But when you go with someone that helps you get the right gear, get the right layers, and ensures that you have a safe, fun outing, all of a sudden, and I'm speaking from examples, I've had many people that refused to go out in the winter with me, and then I brought them out. They loved it so much that that they're starting to embrace it more, and they're buying equipment now to go out snowshoeing, to go out hiking, to do anything, but it's just a matter of getting out. So I feel helping people facilitate as much as the realm as possible when it comes to doing anything outside, I find is a huge stepping stone, right? That if we don't have someone in our network that goes stand-up paddleboarding, we will most likely never get up stand-up paddleboarding. I meet my clients on stand-up paddleboards. So I say, hey, meet me at Dow's Lake. I get all the rentals. I get the boards set up. All they have to do is show up in a, you know, a swimsuit and good spirits, and off we go. And I train them. I teach them how to do all this. And then we talk business or personal growth. So it makes it a lot of fun that you're building on the experience and that growth that the person is ultimately looking for.
Go back to your point earlier about gear and stuff. I remember when I started doing triathlons, like, right, I don't know, 12 years ago, there was a saying that there's no bad weather, just bad, you know, clothing choices. So,
absolutely,
it's and you don't really know that until you get, like, you do have to invest a little bit, especially if you're doing stuff in winter, to a good base layer and to some good you know, wicking socks and like that kind of stuff. Because you're right, like, if we joked when we skied into one of the Gatineau Park yurts, it's probably like 5 or 6 years ago, with some friends, and one of my buddies had cotton socks, and after we skied about 2.5 hours, and it was probably minus 20 or something, and he wasn't loving life after hour one.
He was.
So, but again, it's like, it's one of those things, like, why would you, to me, it's like, there's no, like, cotton's not even a choice.
Yeah.
But for him, he's like, well, that's, I didn't really know any better. Well,
exactly. So, and if you don't know, how could you help? And socks is the perfect example that can literally ruin your experience in Mother Nature. And we're talking about a $30 investment. Get some good wool socks.
Yeah, I know, it's just crazy. But I'm with you on the team winter, because it's, I find winter is just magical. The peaceful, also because most people don't like to go out. Like, I was out for a walk in the Greenbelt Trails on the weekend. Other than one person getting into their car when I was pulling up to the parking lot, I was up for 45 minutes. I did not see anyone else. And it's like, and it wasn't even that cold. Like, I wasn't even wearing gloves or a toque or anything, but it's just, you're right. Like, the default, I think, for most people, unfortunately, is, okay, it's November. I'm going to
fire.
Like, yeah. And not even fire. Like, I wish it was fire. At least that, like, to me, the fire, it's because most people don't have a fireplace. It'd be like, let's get a coffee and Netflix. And then just, that's my morning. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
it happens.
To each their own, but it's one of those things that even if balance between the Netflix and, because it's so easy to get so captivated by a Netflix series that you end up binge watching three or four instead of watching one, then go outside.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that's why I stopped watching series. Now I just watch documentaries or comedy specials. They're much shorter. But to me, it's like, Sunday was a perfect example. I went out for a walk late morning. Got some amazing fresh air. It was raining a little bit, but it was like, to me, it was like magical. It's like you could hear the rain on like the leaves and stuff, and obviously wonderful fresh air.
Yeah.
And that's one nice thing in Ottawa. We're very lucky to have like a lot of nature.
Space,
a lot of green spaces. I mean, again, to some people say, like, you know, go hiking in Gatineau Park, they're like, that's not a hike. And and it's true. It's not like BC or the, New Hampshire or Vermont or some of the other big spots. But I think for the proximity
is incredible.
Yeah.
For Canada's capital to have so many lakes, rivers, ski hills, mountains, trail systems, like, it truly is incredible. And that for me, because I spent some time living out west and I came back home, and I love Ottawa for numerous reasons, one of which is the accessibility of so much outdoor elements. And if we live in Ottawa, or if you live in Canada, you're going to be faced with winters. So it's like, get the nice socks. Hey, Christmas is coming up. Throw in a pair of little socks in everyone's stockings this year. Just enjoy it, embrace it, because if we've made the choice to live in Canada, or if we're just naturally in Canada, why not embrace it? Why not enjoy it and make the best of it?
The going back to some of your adventures that you've had over the years before you became Mr. Adventure Coach, can you kind of let us know about some of the adventure racing you've done and some of the other stuff? Because I think it's pretty cool to, and obviously you've had a love of nature for a while, but like it really shows through some of these races.
Well, some of the adventures really started off as a young kid with my parents allowing my brother and I to just explore the outdoor elements. Every day we stuffed our face with breakfast in the morning, then we were outside playing all day. And then very beautiful moments, my grandfather, he started a ranger week for all the his grandsons. So he would teach us how to hunt and to fish and to shoot a bow and arrow and a gun eventually, and taught us how to live off the land, which was quite amazing. And then furthering that to, adventure races, partook in a variety of adventure races, came up in top three in the finales, actually was in a couple of adventure races with Les Stroud and saw him on trail, which was super exciting. And then to later adventures of traveling. I've now traveled to 36 countries. Some of the travels obviously more adventurous than others, one of which was backpacking Central America for 3.5 months. And it's through all these little experience that I've had outdoors that gave me clarity in life, gave me time to focus and think of what it is that I wanted from this life, what I wanted to do with this life, how I wanted to be remembered in this life. And the experience of meeting people, understanding different cultures and histories, foods, being so aware of everything that I own today and being so grateful of everything that I've had in my life from visiting poorer countries that don't have much, but they have the biggest smiles. And when you see people with, young children with their father's old flip-flops that are worn out and a pair of shorts on, yet they have a huge smile, you know, something's right.
Yeah.
And again, their lives, if you were to generalize, are much simpler than ours, but they're happier. And I want to be able to remind people of how beautiful life is and how happy we should be and how we should be making the best of it each and every day. Not let it go to waste by just allowing yourself to flow into the grind of every day and hitting that snooze button first thing in the morning, starting off your day angry, sitting in traffic and complaining about so much in life, and just realizing it's like, hey, what is it that I want to do with this life? Where do I want to go in this life? And make the best of your life.
That's nice. I mean, it's I echo those sentiments. Having been to Central America a few times for school builds, and you're right, like some of the poorest countries in the world, happiest people, and they're very, very generous too, which you would like, God. It's kind of like, they were like, give you stuff, and you're like, no, it's okay. It's such a nice reminder once, especially because it's funny how we kind of get into these circles. Like if you are grateful, then you try to be more grateful and it makes you more great. Like it's one of those like self-realizing prophecies. But by the same token, I have been in the hustle bustle. Mm-hmm. And I have been where I'm stuck in traffic and I'm just like, I want to punch the person beside me. And it's like, how can this person be in both circles? But it does happen. Like it's,
well, for sure.
So it's
finding that balance, right? That if you are, I'm not saying quit everything you do now and start fresh with something completely different. It's just the awareness of balance. And what balance means to you is that if you're sitting in traffic, or not even traffic, some people enjoy and they listen to podcasts or music, and that's their way of uncharging or recharging, that find your balance, whatever that means to you, and just ensure that for every time waster, you're doing something positive.
I want to go back on one thing that you touched upon. Because you talked about adventure as a big kind of overarching kind of theme in your life. Mm-hmm. How do you define adventure?
Ooh. That's a tricky one because I've met people that are by far way more adventurous than I am, and they really push their realm a little bit more, way more than what I do. So that's a tough one. And adventure, again, because adventure, you could never leave the city and find so much adventure, right? You could be stuck in a room and be adventurous in ways. But defining it, I think it's just pushing your limits a certain extent, just getting your heartbeat going a little more, doing something that gets you closer to a goal or a place in your life that, instead of doing the everyday norm, taking that adventurous step of getting closer to your idealistic life.
And is, to you, being adventurous getting outside of your comfort zone? Is that?
For sure, yeah, because a lot of time, like for example, for group outings, I will take groups out whitewater rafting because that is getting a lot of people out of their everyday norm. You're literally throwing them down whitewater, and at the end of it, they feel so energized and they have so much more understanding for oneself and getting over one fear. If you're able to step away from the norm, conquer something, build that confidence, and have faced fear, why can't that be copy-pasted into anything else we do in life? Right? Just because it's on a river in Mother Nature, that experience could be a parallel towards telling your boss something, or telling someone that you've always admired something, or anything really. But it's facing that fear head on. And the other one I enjoy doing with groups and individuals even is aerial walks and zip lining, because there's a fear of element there.
No, thank you.
There's the heights.
Yeah.
But you have a harness on, a helmet, gloves. Yeah. No matter what you're doing, you always have two safety lines. Like, it is a safe experience. But again, going back to that whole winter excursion, getting right socks on your feet, yeah, it's doing a new adventure or activity with the right gear, but also with the right people in a safe way, that you don't have to be super extreme and go ice climbing with no ropes. Start small and build up to that. We've all started, right? We've all started, even the best individuals in any sport, activity, or business, they started small and worked their way up. I just want to get people started on a small scale, give them a taste of something beautiful and fun outdoors, some sort of adventure, whatever that means to you, because all the packages are customized to people's needs, and then let them leap forward and, you know, get them set up with, bring them snowshoeing once, tell them where they could get some good gear, recommend some gear, and let them go. And next thing you know, they're teaching their friends.
Yeah.
And how satisfying is that?
That is pretty awesome. Going back to the confidence thing you're talking about, I mean, having been an athlete for, you know, most of my life, but I remember, like, after doing Ironman, when you first look at it, you're like, it's very daunting. And then, you know, you start doing a couple triathlons, local triathlons, and you get bigger and bigger. And now that you do Ironman, you're like, anything is possible, really. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you realize that, yeah, even if it's a big goal, you kind of chunk it out. And then next thing you know, like, you can, it's not going to happen overnight, like you say. But then every time you take a step in the right direction, you're getting a little closer to your goal.
And
that confidence, I think, is key, especially.
Sure.
And then you talked about, you know, ziplining. I'm deathly afraid of heights. And that's not my comfort zone at all. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, it's borderline, like, just not like, it's really out there for me. And I think I'm fairly adventurous, but like, that's kind of where I draw the line.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. We can have another chat offline to see if you can get me to do that.
The interview will be right after I take you zip line.
But it's so funny how taking a little bit of step outside your comfort zone can lead to so much. So
much change, and that's you tapped into it earlier. That is taking that big goal, right? Is taking that year goal, let's say, breaking it down to quarters, into months, into weeks, into days. So for training for an Ironman, it's just like, all right, I'm going to go run every day. You don't have to think that, oh, I could never do an Ironman, because I believe anyone can. First time I actually, I never even ran a marathon before. I never ran in any organized event. And I was at a friend's place. He's like, oh, and he was down near Elgin. So I was like, oh, there's a run happening. We should go check it out. I was like, cool. And then I see all walks of people, young and old, running. And I'm like, this is so amazing. Why haven't I done it? And then I got into it because I got inspired by other people. And I told myself, why can't I do that? And due to several injuries, running is not my forte, but I do it because it pushes my limits and it gets me better. And I try and grow in every element that I have. So now when I'm running, I actually, a couple of years ago when I did my first army run, I actually got emotional while running because of everyone else I was seeing running in that race.
Yeah, it's. I mean, if people are looking for motivation, like going to a local race, especially like it's Army Run's a good one. Race Weekend's a good one here. Any local triathlons? Again, you're right. Like you see, old ladies, young men, you know, and small, big, medium, all kinds of people. I mean, for me, my mom was the first one in my family to do Ironman.
Oh, nice.
And like being at that race is like, wow, like. And my mom was like 55 when she did her Ironman. Like it's, you know, it's a few years ago, but still, like it's just, you know, you would think triathlon, especially long distance stuff, it's a young person's game, but
start with a 5K, work your way up, and anyone could do it.
Yeah.
But I truly believe that anyone that could, you know, sets a goal, visualizes it, sticks to it, you know, breaks it down and is disciplined about getting to wherever they want to do, anyone could achieve anything.
And you're right, there is a lot of overlap too with business. Like a lot of people think that business success happens overnight, but it's about having a plan and going, and then, you know.
Because even my clients that come to me for business coaching, I always strip stuff down and look at the individual behind the business because...
And why is that?
That I find that behind any business, there's one individual or numerous individuals, and if they don't have a solid base foundation, that business can or eventually diminish or fall apart. So I always help the business coaching elements. We speak business, but then I always break it down to a certain time to say, hey, what are your purposes and passions like? Because if you are looking at starting a new business, there's a lot of factors, whether or not this is something that you created on your own, from your purpose and passions in life, or this was something given to you by, let's say, your father, your grandfather, and you're just, you know, passing the buck down through generations, but it may not be your thing. Or it might be a franchise that you're purchasing and you just want to own a business. You may not necessarily care about whatever business that is, right? There's people, I know some great friends of mine that are just business savvy. They don't care what they own. They just want to start businesses, and that's what they're fantastic at. But when business owners are struggling or their businesses are struggling and they wonder why, often a lot of blame goes towards the staff or their location. But when you strip it down to say, okay, well, these staff, are they in the right position? Can we just move your staff around a bit? And or you, the boss or the CEO or the owner, having issues at home or having issues with your own self, and let's even strip it down to not being confident anymore, where do you think your business is going to end up?
Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of people, like, they differentiate between you know, Dave the individual and Dave the business owner, but unfortunately that's the same Dave.
It's the same, so same it's, person, yeah. And yeah. You need to have that solid foundation on every front end. For entrepreneurs, I say this all the time in my talks, is that as entrepreneurs, we focus so heavily on the success of our business that we forget about ourselves. And again, it's balancing that. You need to set adequate goals for your business, but you also have to set adequate goals for yourself. If you're not pushing yourself, if you're not going out on adventures, if you're not pushing your limits to a certain degree as an individual and overweighting that on your business, are you going to be ultimately happy?
So what are some tips that you can give to busy entrepreneurs that can help with their getting more adventures in their day-to-day?
Stop saying, I don't have enough time in my day. Make the time. Look at your schedule, see where the time wasters are, and try and incorporate, even if it's 5 minutes of exercise, healthy eating, some form of balance to you, and or set your alarm an hour early and do it then. Right, because we all lead busy lives, but it's what's busy, right? I know people that aren't very active with their work. Then they come home stressed, not feeling too good about themselves, and they sit in front of the television all night, and they still claim to be too busy.
Yeah.
yes, they're busy doing things. If that's a way of balance and refueling and giving you clarity, I'm all for it. But if it's not, break down why it's not and then insert something positive, some energy, something to help you feel good and last longer during the day. Because it's like, oh my God, I crashed at 11:30. I just need to go out for an hour and a half lunch, but then I'm going to McDonald's. Well, that's not going to help refuel you and keep you going longer. So it's just look at your diet, look at your exercise, look at reading, look at learning. It's simply a matter of how am I giving back to society? And I think that's being young or old. I do work with people in retirement centers. And it's just like, just because you've done your whole work career, your work life, why should you just allow yourself to be wasted away in a chair or in a rocking chair or a room or in a building? Get outside, have fun, move, groove, because then you'll be more excited about life, you'll live longer, you'll live happier, and that you'll just emit all this positive energy to everyone around you and help everyone become better.
I like it. I want to be respectful of your time, so I'll ask the question I ask every guest. What does wellness mean to you?
Wellness is something that keeps you positive, energized, and living a long life, I think, would kind of sum it up in ways that balanced happiness, healthy eating will keep us in that positive state.
Okay, I like it. I mean, it's tough because I put everyone on.
And defining words is tough because it means so many different things in different times. So.
Yeah, I'm sure if we have this, I have a conversation with someone else or with the same person at a different time, it's whatever is on top of mind. So, but again, thank you very much for your time and sharing some of your passions. Where can people find out more? Website, social, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so on social media, everything's at Dave Yurichuk, and that's URICHUCK, and then my website, DaveYurichuk.com, or TheAdventureCoach.com.
Okay, and I'll link to all that in the show notes, so if people want to find out more, they can do it. You'll be one click away. Again, thank you very much for sharing some of your adventures and some of your passions, and you've been listening to Wellness Wednesdays. I am your host, Eric Collard. Until next week, be well.